Power Nation. In case we have never met, allow me to introduce myself. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. ThePowerHour.com, ThePowerMall.com. Don't forget ThePowerHour.com. We got a great new guest coming up, Alan Myers. We've never interviewed him. I've got to know him a little bit, and he has a unique perspective on the Fed, and he's able to break it down. We've heard a lot, of course, about the Federal Reserve and what it is, what it isn't, blah, blah, blah. He's going to break this down. I think you're going to like this. This is going to be interesting, and I'm pretty sure you'll learn something. I'm pretty sure. I certainly did. Jason Derkovitz, Dr. Llewellyn will be here also, coming up a little later from Grown by Nature. And tomorrow, remember, I usually am not doing the show tomorrow on Thursdays. I am doing it. We got a special guest, a friend of mine who has retired from the NBA about a year or so ago. He's going to come on the show. I think you're really going to enjoy meeting him. We'll learn about, you know, being it. What's it like being in the NBA? What's it? You know, he's into conspiracy theories, as he says, or stuff like that. I want to pick his brain. What do other people in the NBA think? What do, you know, all these kind of things. What's his perspective? I'm pretty sure that you're going to love this guy. And, hopefully it goes well. We'll have him on repeatedly, talk about all kinds of subjects and his perspective. People, he played with Kobe Bryant. I'm pretty sure he did. One of the years with the Lakers, he did play with the Lakers, I think, when Kobe was still there. So we'll ask him about Kobe, those kind of things, and so much more. So tomorrow, I think, will be a very interesting interview. Also joining today is Uncle Kevin. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. It's great to be here, and another great day in America.
Absolutely. Today is the vote on the Senate vote on impeachment.
And I think it's going to go well.
Well for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan Collins says she's not voting for impeachment. Maybe Mitt Romney will. I don't know.
I think he's going to. I think he will.
Do you really think he will?
I think he
I don't think he. That would be retarded on his part if he did. That would be really endangering.
Personality.
Yes, but it'd be really. But why would he do it? It'd be really endangering his. But he has nothing to gain by doing it.
He has nothing to lose. He's in Utah. He's going to get reelected in Utah.
I don't know. I mean, the CPAC has already turned their back on him. Do you remember?
That's not Utah.
It's
a totally different animal.
I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that's true.
He's like a god in Utah.
I don't think that's as clear cut as you think it is.
Ask your family.
My family. No, I don't have family that lives in Utah. I got friends in Utah, and they're starting to turn on Mitt.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I hope. He's such a dirtball.
Tell us how you. All right. Well, let's get right to
Well, anybody, Bain Capital. Well, he goes in there, buys up the assets of a company, takes the assets for himself, and throws thousands of people out of work. What kind of scum is that?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I hate the guy.
I don't hate him for that. I mean, I don't like him for that. I don't hate him for that. I hate him for his disingenuousness. He said one of the most evil things I've ever heard a politician say.
I agree with you.
Is the most evil thing I've ever heard a politician say, in public anyway, that we know about. Right out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. He said corporations are people too. That is the most evil thing I have ever heard a politician say.
Mm-hmm.
He is lowering the people to the status of corporations in that. I mean, at first glance, you may not think that. But when you say corporations are people, too, the old statutes, Supreme Court laws, corporations couldn't even sue people.
Right.
They were on a different level.
Exactly.
Different plane. And for him to be able to say that, to be able to lower, basically lowering the creation of God, lowering to the state of a created, managed being, that is the most evil thing I've ever heard a politician say. I mean, worse than the abortion things. Worse than you're taking people, the creation of God, and making them basically a registered, created entity at the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
That's worse than abortion.
It's terrible. Well, like I said, he's a horrible human being.
I don't know him personally.
Doesn't matter. You go by his deeds.
A State of the Union was last night, of course. Big deal, you know, who stands up, who doesn't stand up. Give us a brief little, let's hear your summary of
this.
For people who didn't listen.
I loved it. We gave an hour and 15 minutes of just wonderfulness.
Well, it was 20 minutes of speaking and 55 minutes of clapping.
171 standing ovations. A little bit too much. Let him just get in there and speak and have a good time and tout what he's done. He had a lot of great things that he's done for the economy. He went through that. He said that before he was there, the United States had lost 70,000 factories to overseas, and he's brought back 12 and planning on bringing back many, many more, bringing back all these jobs. And one of my favorite parts was that the little preemie baby that they saved, and now she's a little girl. And then they tied it in with the Tuskegee Airman, who was 100 years. He didn't look 100 years old. He was 100 years old and, gave him a Brigadier General or something.
Yeah.
That was just great. That was just great.
Okay, so for people who did not see it last night, he started off Trump, of course, economy. Boom, right from the beginning, all about economy. He comes in, the same thing. The Democratic women, most of them, except the representative from Arizona, were all dressed in white.
I think that's suffrage.
I didn't listen to the pre-speech
I think that everybody's gotten on one page for women's suffrage.
What, women can't vote in America or what?
I don't know. But I think that was that.
See, that's about as stupid as these people complaining about slavery in America.
Yeah.
I mean, real slavery. I mean, yes, we're whatever. I'm not going to mince hairs, but you want to talk about slavery? They can go to Africa and stop slavery right now.
They can.
So, yeah. What? Women's suffrage. What are they talking about? That women aren't being recognized or something, or what?
Just unity, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, he comes in, big deal, supposedly, or it's being a big deal. He handed his speech to the Vice President Pence. Above him, the Vice President Pence is the President of the Senate, and then House Speaker Pelosi hands a speech to him. Doesn't shake Pence's hand.
Nope.
As he goes to turn away from Pelosi, Pelosi sticks out her hand very late.
I don't even think he saw her hand.
I don't know if he did or didn't, and no wonder if it was calculated on her part. He didn't shake her hand. So what? Who cares?
So what?
I wouldn't shake her hand either.
Me neither.
I don't care if she offered it right from the beginning. I wouldn't shake her hand.
I wouldn't even look at her. She scares me too much.
For everything he's done with this impeachment. Curiously absent from the speech was any mention of impeachment.
Yeah. Curious.
I don't know if it's curious. I think it's a statement,
right?
We had
a disagreement. You think he should have had it yesterday, and I think he should have had it after the impeachment.
Why do you think he should have had it after?
Because I would have attacked those people in that speech. He gave some Democrats some shots, but after I got him
acquitted,
boy, I would have went after him in that speech.
I could see that. Well, you didn't say that yesterday. That actually makes some sense. I can see it before, because why should he let this affect him at all?
I got it.
This is nothing. You're not affecting me or changing anything.
But it would give him an opportunity to stick it to some people.
He also, by doing that, he would risk coming off as a bully in a way. He can certainly come off that way. Now he looks like, the victim, per se, and it makes the Democrats look bad. I don't know. I mean, I can see it either way. I see your point. That's actually a good point. I didn't think about that he could be more aggressive. But see, I would have been aggressive anyway.
I would have too.
I would have said something.
He missed so many.
And I wouldn't have said it in a mean way. Nope. Wouldn't have to say it in a mean way.
No, you can bring it out like facts.
All right, let's continue with a little bit more of the. He talked about a lot about the economy. I thought some of his claims were overblown.
Oh, of course.
I think, this idea, this is the best economy ever. This is not the best economy ever, Donald Trump.
The way they grade it, it is, because they change everything.
It's not the greatest economy
ever. They change everything.
It's everybody in America who lives in America knows this is not the best economy. Unless you work for the JP Morgan and you're getting $1 trillion pumped through the back door, this is not the best economy ever.
I agree.
That's ridiculous. It's actually ridiculous. It's actually embarrassing, to be honest with you.
It was the greatest.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could say the 1830. You could say, I mean, there's lots of, you could say, whatever, sometime after the early 1800s. You could say, there's lots of times you could say, depending on how you're judging. The average person in America, this is not the best time in America.
No, heck no.
My grandfather, your father, I can't remember the exact amount. He said something like, my first job, I was making $25 a week or something. He said something like that. He said, yeah, and I always had money.
Always had money.
Always had money in my pocket.
My dad, when we was a kid, he made $100 a week, and we had three kids, and, you know, mom didn't work.
Right.
Three kids.
That's a much better economy.
House.
Right.
You can't do that today.
Yeah, and he didn't go to college.
He didn't go to college.
And he was an engineer. I mean, he was very smart, very ingenious. But that's a much better economy than
much
we have
better
today.
Economy. Yes,
no question. Anyway, he did talk about drug prices. He put it on the Democrats.
You know,
he said, "Bring me a bill. I'll sign it." Mm-hmm. I thought that was
drug prices are out of control. Out of control.
He did talk about something he's done with the drug prices on the, what was, I can't even remember. I should have wrote it down. Mm-hmm. I forgot. But anyway, he did talk about the drugs prices. Yeah, he talked briefly about the virus. He says he's going to do whatever it takes to keep America safe. Then you need to stop the flights. I mean, that's immediately what came to my mind. I don't know if that, you know, if he
I
does.
Think he, I think he has, hasn't he?
No. They've not stopped flights from China to America. No.
From Hunan to America.
I don't know. When did you hear that? I don't know if that's true.
I heard that yesterday.
I don't know. Some airlines have. Canadian Airlines, the one from whatever, I can't remember. British Airways. But no, if you're not going to stop them, then you need to stop when they come in and check every one of them.
Yep.
Now, I understand he may not want to do this because of the economic problem that's going to cause and the scare and the panic.
Yeah,
but
he's got an election coming up. You know?
But, well, then he can blame it on the virus. If the economy does, they blame it on the virus.
Yeah.
If this virus spreads in America beyond what it has in some rapid situation, if it spreads, Donald Trump will deservedly get a lot of blame.
Yep.
Because he has not acted on this. I thought that the three most touching moments to me, moving. One, you already mentioned about there was a 21-week-old baby premature who lived. 21-week-old. And immediately when I said, 21 weeks, and it was a 2-year-old now.
Right.
Immediately, I don't know what the first thing came to your mind. It was a 21-week-old baby. I thought two things. The picture that might be the picture of the year of the operation that the doctor had to do on the 21-week-old in utero, but they had to pull the uterus out and put it back. It's complicated surgery. There's a picture of the baby literally reaching out of the womb and grabbing the finger of the doctor.
Oh, I know. That was just unbelievable.
I mean, that is moving. 21 weeks.
21 weeks.
The other thought, under Roe versus Wade, they told America that you can have abortion in 24 weeks. It's not viable. It's not this.
Right.
Okay, here's a 21-week-old baby who was born viable.
Yep.
That's the other thought I had. Immediately he follows. He is trying to end late-term abortions altogether in all the states and wants a bill to pass.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very moving. When I saw that baby, it was just very moving.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mother started crying, and everybody started crying. You mentioned McGee, the Brigadier General, now Brigadier General. He's 100 years old.
Man,
he's
good.
One of the last Tuskegee Airmen. Two questions came to mind, or one question came to mind. Did he have syphilis? Because America gave those Tuskegee people, they were experimenting on
them.
The American government. I shouldn't say America, the government. But it was very cool, and then he also referenced his great grandson who has ambitions to be in the Space Force, the new Space Force.
Yeah.
He introduced him first, the great grandson, and then he says his hero is right next to him, his great grandfather.
Yeah. Well,
that was really cool.
Yeah.
The brother of an illegal alien victim,
that big guy,
and he was crying. Oh, my gosh, I was crying.
I'm surprised he didn't get his boys and went looking for those people.
I was, and Trump was reading numbers. They must be accurate, and I say that because I haven't heard the Democrats refute them. So they must be accurate,
right.
The numbers. And the numbers they're saying from crimes from illegal aliens is
through the roof.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, this is staggering.
Yeah.
These numbers, violent crimes, we're talking somewhere around 50,000 murders, 5 to 10,000, another, rapes and other things, another 10. I mean, this is
big time.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Lot.
And to, what do you tell, that brother who was there when the policies about the borders you have, and I looked to see how Nancy Pelosi would respond, and she was like stone faced out of her mind. She may have been stoned for all I know.
Yeah.
I mean, she would stand and clap for certain things. He talked about the trade deal, the new NAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about old NAFTA, got how bad that was and how new NAFTA. Mm-hmm. Well, Nancy Pelosi clapped and stood at that. So that tells me what I've been saying is probably right. What we've been saying here, Patrick Wood detailed at the end of last week, that that's a rouge. That's mm-hmm. a bad deal.
Yeah. Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah.
It is a bad deal. It's a bad situation at this point. No, when we're giving sovereignty away, when we're giving authority away, well, why do we need to give authority away at all to some unelected body?
I agree.
Okay, so it's bad.
But they haven't given it away yet.
Yes, they did. If they agreed, no. That board has the authority to make decisions.
They haven't given it away.
He signed the deal.
All right. Semantics.
Semantics? How is that semantics? He signed the deal.
He signed the deal. If unelected officials want to change the thing, they can do it.
No. That's changing the deal. Oh. The deal, they have authority now in the scope of the deal.
They haven't acted. They haven't changed anything.
Those are two different things, Kev. They can totally change the deal every so often. I can't remember what it is, but
three years.
They can change the deal. But the deal as it is now, they have authority under that deal. And the authority is outside of election, outside of the Constitution.
Yeah, I get it.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's a bad deal. Okay. All right. Any other, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was there.
That was really good.
That was very cool.
And I'm not a big Rush Limbaugh fan, but I enjoyed that.
Rush Limbaugh has done a lot.
He has done a lot for America. Yep, he's woken a lot of people up.
AOC called Rush Limbaugh violent racist. She didn't go there last night, which is fine with me. I didn't have to look at her.
She reminds me of Crackhead Bob.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Rush Limbaugh was there sitting next to Melania, and right in the middle of speech, he called out Limbaugh. I don't know if he knew he was going to get the Medal of Honor or Medal of Freedom.
No, it didn't look like it.
Yeah, it didn't look. Yeah. I don't know if he knew or not.
He's in entertainment. He could act, so.
Right. I don't know, but, that maybe he was just going to be recognized. He obviously knew that. He was sitting next to Melania. He talked about Trump talked about his diagnosis with lung cancer, that he's a fighter, that millions of, and we wanted to salute him.
I think he's going to beat it, to be honest with you.
I have no idea. But last night, I certainly hope so. Let's pray for, I don't want anybody to be, sick and dying like that, but it was very touching. She pulled right there out, right in the middle of the deal, and gave him the medal. Yeah. There was another family who was reunited. A soldier was reunited.
Oh, that was good too, man.
And the wife looked shocked. I mean, she wouldn't even hug. I mean, she was just crying. She wouldn't even. Yeah. She's like, is this real? I think she was a little embarrassed in front of, everybody. His children were looking at, I was sad the way his children looked at him. You could tell that young one didn't know him.
Yeah, exactly.
And that broke my heart when he's talking about, and then Trump made the comment about, these soldiers are out, we're allowed our freedom because of them over there. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about, Trump? Our freedom is not based on whether we're guarding poppy fields in Afghanistan,
Bingo.
Trump.
Yeah.
Come on.
They
might believe this. Yeah, where's the we're going to get out of this?
Fields and make the fields so they can never grow anything again.
Put some Roundup on.
Yeah.
Put Roundup on the fields.
Yeah.
We found a viable use for Roundup.
There you go.
We found a good use for Roundup. Yeah. Anyway, I felt so sad for that young for that young kid who was, I don't know, he's probably two or three. And you could tell he didn't, he's like, I don't know, who is this? He didn't really know his dad.
And then that lady with that 13-year-old who lost their dad, that was sad too.
Oh, that was sad.
That was sad.
All in all, the last, and we're not going to, maybe we'll show clips so when we have some time another day. The last, I don't know, five minutes of the speech were, barring the, taking out the hand clapping, mm-hmm. the last 5 minutes of actual speech, I thought were extremely good, bordering on stunning, a scope of a vision of bringing God into it, bringing the accomplishments, and that we have a horizon, and we're on the rise, we're on the ascent, we can accomplish things, we're all these things. I thought that was very moving. I thought it had vision to it. Was it, a little naive and hopeful and optimistic. Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Sure it was.
But it was patriotic.
Very patriotic.
Showed a nice Vision.
Vision.
Yeah, loved it.
That's what we need. Vision.
And it capped off the speech. See, I loved the whole thing from the beginning to the end.
You loved everything about it?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Entertained, yeah.
I see. When I heard,
it's a little long.
Well, I hear
it could have been cut down.
I hear certain things, and it just like he's talking about the economy. This is the greatest economy ever. That just set me back. When he's talking about the soldiers, and we're standing on them for our freedom, and basically our way of life is these soldiers that are in the Middle East. I'm like, are you kidding me?
I didn't agree with it, but it didn't bother me.
Oh, that bothered me.
It bothered me.
We have some news. There's some virus news. You can check this out on thepowerhour.com. I know for people who don't have internet, not a lot of news. The WHO said there are no effective therapeutics. A British man who was the first to be diagnosed with the virus who lives in Wuhan, he took natural remedies, including a whiskey tonic, and now he's over
he's
it, supposedly over it.
Yeah.
He took some natural. He didn't want to take the antibiotics and things the doctors. People are telling us that if you don't have a mask on the street, you're arrested.
Oh, wow.
You have the story about the lady who broke through the barrier and was shot.
This is crazy.
Super quick.
Woman in China shot for attempting to break through coronavirus blockade. I mean, she just tried to break through it. And didn't say on the thing whether they warned her or not, but they just shot her dead.
All right.
Shot her dead.
Okay, we knew this was happening, that this was rigged, this situation in Iowa. Okay, this is the last thing we'll talk about before we're going to get Alan on the other side. Mayor Pete, 10K Pete,
yep.
10 Penny Pete.
10 Penny Pete.
10 Penny Pete is now miraculously somehow leading the vote in Iowa. And we still don't have the official results from Iowa.
And you can't trust them. After all this time, you can't trust them. So, take victory.
Well, that tells you the whole thing's rigged.
Yeah.
Pete was third, just so you know, in all the straw polls leading up to that, was not even close to third. Like significantly far away third.
Yep.
Bernie Sanders was significantly ahead of everybody.
Yep, everybody.
So, what does that tell you?
Our beautiful old vice president came in fourth.
Parkland father interrupts Trump's speech. I didn't even see that. He was screaming about gun control. You know, Trump says he's going to protect our Second Amendment rights. We don't have Second Amendment rights. We have natural rights to defend ourselves. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour.
Still.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Derkovitz, Dr. Llewellyn will be here from Grown by Nature in about 30 minutes or so. So hang tight. You can call in and ask questions if you want. We'll talk about all these products and more. The Power Mall, other things, the special from Wayne Elliott about the kidney formula and the CardioCom is also, and some other products. I will mention those the next hour. I want to get right to our guest. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com. Thank you for your support. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. All the virus protection products that we've discussed and food storage, all that. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Our first guest is, he's a CPA. You know, so that you think of, immediately think boring, not boring at all, super fun. I've really gotten joy to know him. He calls himself a student of the monetary system. I like that. And he says that the Federal Reserve, the Fed, is truly domestic enemy number one. His website, FedEd, FEDED.US, FedEd.US, and their motto is, it is the gold standard of monetary system education. Very good. The gold standard. Like it. Alan, welcome to the Power Hour.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I really look forward to our chat today.
Yes, you just quickly, maybe, you know, I gave a brief introduction, but people, they don't know you at all. Maybe just give a Reader's Digest. Who is Alan Myers?
I'm a CPA, forensic accountant. I have studied the Fed, banking, money creation, money extinguishment. Yes, money does go out of existence for now 9 years. I've spoken at a couple of Red Pill Expos, and my goal is to help people understand how the monetary system actually works. And though that may sound very heady or complex, it's not. At its basic level, and that's all you need to understand is the basics, this is ABC, not Shakespeare. This is 1, 2, 3, not calculus. It's just not in our education system. And to begin today, which is a great way to begin, I know we're going to talk about why the Fed, and when you say Fed and I say Fed, we're talking about the Federal Reserve System, Federal Reserve Banks, the National Monetary System, and not in any way, shape, or form the federal government. I'm going to explain why, to me, the Fed is absolutely, okay, totally private.
Good, good, very good. Quickly, before we get to that, what got you interested? I mean, you're a CPA, you go along, everything works. What woke you up to investigate this?
A friend kept suggesting to me that I read a book, and he, you know, read the book. Finally, I go, okay, I'll get it. The book is The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. Now, I get the book, and it's this 600-page monster. And I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this
I
is
start
War and
reading
Peace.
It.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, I cannot tell you where in the pages of that book I woke up, but it is within the pages of that book I woke up. And I started to learn things that was nowhere in my college education, post-college education. Since then, I've just continued on and on. I've become a personal friend of Mr. Griffin. I'm involved with Freedom Force to a degree. I've been involved with the Red Pill Expos. And this is just something I really want the public to learn about, because I'll wrap this part up with the monetary system is the most powerful system in our country. The most powerful, because everyone and everything is connected to, through, by, and with it.
I think that's a good description.
And this is why, since it actually works against us, that's why I call it domestic enemy number one.
Well, there's a reason people say money makes the world go round, you know, kind of jokingly, but I mean, it's so powerful. Let's talk about the Fed itself. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of innuendos. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of all of the above. Okay, breakdown. This is a short interview. We'll have you on again, but what is the Fed? You say it's private. Let's talk about that. What is it? Is it private?
First, just to set some background, the Fed was created by the signing of the Federal Reserve Act by then President Woodrow Wilson, December 23rd, 1913. Currently, the Fed has 12 regional banks, and the 12 banks have 23 total branches. There's more banks east of the Mississippi than west. To give you an idea of its history, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York was incorporated. Note the word incorporated. On May 18th, 1914, it had its first board meeting in October 1914, and it officially opened for business in November 16th, 1914. This is the beginning of the system. Now, that's just background. Okay, one, each Fed bank has its own president, vice president, board of directors, and employees. This sounds kind of private to me. Remember,
yeah,
specifically
sounds like a corporation.
The Federal Reserve Bank. Yeah. Was incorporated. Does that sound like a public entity? No. Then you go to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, Section 7. This is an amazing section. It's very short, but it has so much interesting information. That's where the first time when I was reading it, I found the word stockholders. Yes. Mm. Each Fed bank, each of the 12 banks, has stockholders. That's the word in the law. And the stockholders are the member banks within each region. This sounds private to me. The stock.
All right, let me pause right now just for people listening, because we've heard a lot of rumors, again, innuendos. Let's be clear. This is straight from the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. There are Section 7. There is stock in this Federal Reserve system. The stockholders are the member banks. This would be, in this case, one of them would be the New York Fed. Is that what you're saying? The New York Fed would be one of the stockholders of the Federal Reserve. Is that true?
No, what I'm talking about, take the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That's one of the 12 Federal Reserve banks.
Okay.
That's a bank.
Right.
Along with all the others. Each bank, each of the 12 banks has stockholders. Chase, B of A, Wells Fargo.
Okay.
Because there are member banks within that region.
Okay, so go ahead.
The commercial banks within the region are the stockholders of the regional Fed bank, which to me is another way of saying the regulatees own the regulator.
Okay, to be clear again, so the Federal Reserve System, the banking system, is made up of is equal to the 12 member banks. Is that, am I okay so far? So the Federal Reserve System
banks.
is The 12 regional banks. Okay. So the 12 regional banks is what the Federal Reserve Act created. That is the Federal Reserve System. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And then they have stockholders, each one of those banks. We're not talking about the federal government being the stockholder. We're talking about private stockholders, correct?
The federal government is not a stockholder. No government agency is a stockholder in any regional Fed bank. And the stockholders are the member banks, private corporations within the region of each of the 12 banks. Correct.
All right. Okay. Now I'm clear on that.
Good.
Very good. Now let me ask you about auditing. You know, Ron Paul started it in earnest about audit the Fed, that the Federal Reserve System, this whole system has never been audited. That idea, is that true, or is that partly true, or what does that mean?
It really comes down to, and I'm not, you know, necessarily being funny about it, but it really comes down to how you use the word audit. Now, I've heard that for so many years, and Ron Paul actually wrote a book in the Fed, and I, you know, appreciative of their efforts. However, when you use the term audit with an accountant, we have a pretty, especially if you're talking about financial statements. When they say audit, I'm thinking they mean operational audit. But I went researching many years ago, and to my great surprise, I found audited financial statements for each of the Fed banks as PDFs, and I downloaded them. I got 5 years of each from 2007 through 2011. I'm looking at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's consolidated financial statements. Now, this goes back several years because that's when I did it. But one of the first things that comes up is the independent auditor's report done by one of the big top four CPA firms in the country. This one happened to be Deloitte and Touche at the time. I'm looking at the balance sheet. I'm looking at the income statement. They've got over 50 pages of notes to the financial statements. No. The Federal Reserve Banks, each one of them, their financial statements are audited. This is financial statement audit every year. What they use is what's called to perform this audit, they reference what's called the Financial Accounting Manual. That is the Financial Accounting Manual of the Federal Reserve System, as opposed to generally accepted auditing standards. But bottom line, if somebody says, you know, they need to audit the books, this is physically done every year. You can find it on the web. I went looking for, just for the heck of it, a recent one for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I found 2018. So when they say audit, if they're meaning financial statements, then they're incorrect. If they mean operational, that's completely different.
How is it different?
Well, if you're saying financial statement, you know, you got to open the books, we got to see what you're doing. It's done every year. If you're saying
what's the difference? What are they not telling us about operational? What does that mean?
Operational would be we want to get in on the meetings of the Federal Open Market Committee and the decisions they're making. We want to read the minutes of those meetings, yada, yada, yada. So somebody needs to clarify with them, are you talking financial statement audit, which is basically the accounting of each bank, or are you talking about how it's being operated? Not the same thing.
All right, a couple things, and I don't even know if you're an expert on this or what have you, but you'd definitely be the person I'd ask. Iceland, supposedly, you know, after 2008, they started to audit their Federal Reserve, whatever the comparable thing is there. And they actually arrested some bankers, put them in jail, and said, this isn't our debt. We went back through, this isn't our debt. This is your made up crap, and this isn't us. We're not having anything to do with it. And it actually made a boom to their economy. Do you know anything about that? What did they do that maybe we need to do?
I did not track Iceland, but ultimately, part of the education I like to bring is not just bring the information. It's bring what I call the call to action, which is actually simple and doable. And then I explain when this call to action is implemented, which is simple and doable, and we get the changes that we need, what's going to come is going to be absolutely fantastic. To put it in a nutshell, there's three things that we face every day in our lives because of this monetary system that we are told to believe that are normal, necessary, everyday, nothing to complain about, keep moving. And these three are tied directly to how the monetary system works, and that is inflation, federal income taxation, and national debt. I can show you how we can get rid of all three.
Okay, I'm all ears. I mean, you got 10 minutes, Alan.
Okay, so we're going to leave the 12 reasons why the Fed is private.
Yeah, let's leave that. We should have had you on a lot longer. Maybe we'll take you in a little bit in the next hour. Anyway, go ahead. Let's inflation, national debt, and what was the other one? Oh, federal taxation.
Yeah. Okay, inflation. Inflation, the Fed targets 2% inflation. Inflation kind of sounds like a benign thing. Oh, no big deal, 2%, da da da. Well, inflation is really loss of purchasing power. And to put this in perspective, when the Fed went operational in 1914, one 1914 dollar had the purchasing power of 100 1914 pennies. Makes sense. 100 pennies to the dollar. Today's dollar is estimated to have the purchasing power of three 1914 pennies. Mm. Things don't cost more today because they're so much more valuable. It's because our dollar buys almost nothing compared to 1914.
All right,
we have inflation because of the way the Fed operates.
All right, quickly. Let's clarify. So if somebody's operating in America under this, you know, inflation, you can operate in a closed system with inflation as long as your income or your money coming in is keeping up with it. People say, what's the big deal? You know, I make more. We make a lot more than we did in 1914. The real crime occurs to me is that if you were 1914 and you worked all your life and you saved a bunch of money, now the government through inflation or the Federal Reserve System through inflation just basically stole your life's work. That's basically what happened. Would that be an accurate way to say it?
Basically, when you talk about inflation, and I wish we were not going to talk about this because I would have had something in front of me, but I did an analysis back in the day. Yes, you make more now than you did then, but everything costs more.
Yeah.
Okay. And the idea is that if you go back to 1910, when Henry Ford decided to go wild and he was going to increase the minimum wage for his auto workers to $5 a day. I know, $5 a day. And you're only going to work 8 hours. Now, these are rough numbers because I don't have it in front of me, but the upshot is, working at that point in time, making $5 a day, which is a lot more than the other people were making, you could pay off your per capita, pro rata portion of the national debt by working 2-3 weeks. Okay?
Wow.
Maybe not even that long. Today, you'd have to work over 2 years to pay off your portion of the national debt at minimum wage.
Whoa.
So, and the thing about the Fed, you know, they have what's called the dual mandate. And the dual mandate actually has three things in it, which cracks me up. It's like, you guys don't know dual means two? Well, the three things in the dual mandate are full employment of people and resources. That's one. Two, stable prices. Three, moderate long-term interest rates. Just dealing with stable prices. To me, stable prices means they don't change. Not that they constantly change.
Most people would think that.
The Fed fails on its mandate. However, if you think that's a huge failure, I'll give you the biggest failure. Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize winning economist, is quoted as saying the Fed definitely, that's the word, definitely caused the Great Depression. Back in the day, Milton Friedman and another economist, Anna Schwartz, wrote a book about the history of the U.S. money from the 1800s to like 1960. In 2002, at an event commemorating the 90th birthday of Milton Friedman, Ben Bernanke, then member of the board, gives a really long speech. Finally, he gets to the end, and the end is very short and amazing. He tells everybody that he's going to take a little hit, given that he's, you know, part of the Fed. And then he says to Milton and Anna, being Milton Friedman, Anna Schwartz, to Milton and Anna regarding the Great Depression, "You're right. We did it. We're very sorry. But thanks to you, we won't do it again." In that short little blast, he acknowledges, he admits what Milton Friedman said, what Anna Schwartz said, and that he agrees with them. The Fed definitely caused the Great Depression. Now imagine if you were the top CEO of a big company and you so messed everything up that your company went BK or almost went BK, do you have a job the next day? No.
Not likely.
And the Fed's still there. But they give us inflation. The reason we have federal income taxation, think about how many decades our country, our federal government operated with no federal income tax up to 1913.
Let me pause you right there. We had Pete Hendrickson, who wrote Cracking the Code, on recently. And he says that the federal income tax, actually, when it came in, was actually popular. It was only to be used people who using federal privileges. And in 1936, only 3.9% of America even filed taxes, because it was only dealing with basically federal employees and people using federal privileges. It's an excise tax, not a direct income tax. What would you say to that?
I would say that, because I'm looking now at a copy of what allegedly is the original 1913 Form 1040. It's a one-pager, by the way. And it was probably popular, or no one really cared, because your taxable income had to exceed $20,000 before you had to pay a 1% tax. How many people do you think were making $20,000 in 1913?
Yeah, not
but
many.
Wait, it gets better. $50,000 to $75,000, you pay 2%. $75,000 to $100,000, you pay 3%. $100,000 to $250,000, you pay 4%. $250,000 to $500,000, you pay 5%. And if you're making over $500,000, that's taxable income, you pay 6%. Okay, this is not going to apply to anybody, right? This is only going to be the most wealthy. I don't care. The other thing is, if you really want to read some interesting stuff, it's by Bill Benson. He wrote this two volumes, The Law That Never Was. And The Law That Never was the 16th Amendment. He did research on every state, and his conclusion is, the 16th Amendment, the one that gives us federal tax income taxation, was never properly ratified. A couple little details on it. The Secretary of State at the time was a guy named Philander Knox. Yeah, Philander. Go figure. Well, before Philander was Secretary of State, what was he doing? He was a high-powered attorney for some robber barons. So what is a guy who's a millionaire in his own right doing with a civil service job? He did the job. At that time, they needed 36 states to ratify. According to Philander, they got 38, which means if you can show three states did not properly ratify, you don't have a fully ratified constitutional amendment. Well, Bill Benson found, I believe, just on this one issue, many states in their state constitution have a clause that says before you can deal with a constitutional amendment, the state has to go through another election cycle so it can become part of the election cycle. At least three states didn't do that, so their ratifications are invalid. The 16th Amendment never should have been ratified.
We only have a couple minutes. I am so sorry we only have you on for 30 minutes. I mean, we need to have you on for 2 hours. This is...
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, this is, we literally got 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
Got it.
You've totally teased us. FedEd.us is your website. Yes. Quickly, what in 2 minutes, what should we do to solve this Fed problem? Give us a solution, a 2 minute elevator solution.
The solution is simple. You must contact your elected employees, that's what I call them, in D.C., emails and phone calls. You tell them every day, basically repeal the Federal Reserve Act and all their amendments, and do one thing to banks. Take the power to create and extinguish money away from banks, return it to the benefit and control of the people. I'm not anti-bank. I just don't want them being the creators and extinguishers of money. That power belongs to and must benefit the people. When we do that, we, in a unified way, can create a system, and I've got an idea, but no time to talk about it now. But you use the power to create money because money is created. We can control the supply so we don't have inflation. We can fund our federal government based on approved budgets. And we get away from the need for the federal government to tax and borrow, and eventually the debt will get paid off, and we're living large.
What, where does the gold standard come in? You know, we've heard rumors China's going to back their yuan with gold. We've heard rumors America might. What do you feel about this?
The thing is that people that, you know, they tie themselves to gold and silver, and I kind of get it, but I don't, because it's not about what is money. It's what money does. Money has one sole function, and that is to facilitate an indirect transaction. If you can get it done, it's money. We need to control the supply, the creation, and extinguishment.
Well, I mean, people say that about gold because gold is finite, so it can't be created, you know, so it's not, can't be manipulated. I understand people's fascination with it, certainly. Alan Meyer, FedEd.us. It's a pleasure to meet you. We will definitely have you on again, my friend. I'll talk to you soon, Alan. God bless you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease, it's just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.